I want to thank you for helping me worship God this morning, helping me sing and pray together and open God's divine book and glean the treasures there found therein, and being a part with me as we give communion or have communion with Jesus Christ and one another as we partake of the Lord's Supper. You know, a lot of times when we think about our life, we were talking about life this morning, what the life of a Christian consists, or what the daily life of a Christian is. Well, in that, we also think about the fact, well, what does God want us to be? What does God want? But also, we also think about the fact that God wants something for us, not just what He wants us to do, but He wants something for us. In other words, God has done a lot of things for you and for me. We looked at a passage this morning in our first lesson together where the Apostle Paul, writing to the Athenians, or speaking to the Athenians, told them that in God we live and move and have our very being. God did something for us then. So when we talk about what God wants, we're talking about what God wants for us today. Not necessarily when we ask, God, what do you want me to do? But what God wants for us, what He's going to do for us. And I suggest to you that God wants to reconcile us. The very reason that He sent His Son to die on the cross is because He wants to reconcile us. When the Apostle Paul was preaching in the book of Acts, when he's preaching to some of those who were willing to listen to him, when Stephen was even speaking about that, and when Peter also spoke to those individuals who would listen to him. But in Acts the 7th chapter, we read about Moses. This is one of the ones that is speaking at the time. He's talking about what Moses did in the Old Testament. And he talks about when Moses appeared to two of those Israelites that were fighting with each other. It says he tried to reconcile them, saying, "Men, you are brethren, why do you wrong one another?" The idea of reconciliation, folks, is the idea of bringing one back to peace, or bringing peace between two people. That's the idea of reconciling. Well, God wants to reconcile us. Obviously, He wants to reconcile us unto Him, because the sin itself separates one from God. And so He has done everything He can to reconcile us. Like Paul said in Ephesians 2, he said He abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments. And the reason He did was to create in Himself one new man from the two, so making peace, that He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross. And thereby, He says, He put to death the enmity. So why did Christ come in His flesh? Well, He came in His flesh to reconcile us. God wants to reconcile us. That's why He sent His Son. He doesn't want us to be at enmity with Him anymore, or we might even say enemies of God, because we engage in things that are sinful. And we realize that the end result of sin is death. In Colossians 1 and verse 20, the apostle was speaking to another group of people now, and he said, "By Him to reconcile us all to Himself." He reconciles all of us to Himself. He did that, is what he's saying. Whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of Jesus Christ. So we're reconciled to Him, and when we're reconciled, we're at peace. That's the point the Apostle Paul's making in that passage of Scripture. Well, Jesus Himself talks about that in John 17. When He's speaking to His Father in the prayer that He prayed to His Father, and He says in verse 20, "I do not pray for these alone." Talking about His apostles there, or His disciples there. "But also for those who believe in Me through their word, that they all may be one, even as You are in Me, Father, and I in You, that they also may be in us." So what He's saying is, I pray that there may be a reconciliation between us, Christ, God, and mankind. So I pray that we all may be one. We may be reconciled. We may be at peace with one another. Well, what does God want for us? He wants to reconcile us. He wants us to have peace. He wants to bring us back to Him. And that's why we read such passages as, "God commended His own love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." But what does God want for us? Well, He wants to redeem us. The word redeem simply means to buy back. That's what it means. He wants to redeem us. People who have gone away from the Lord, sin separates, as I said a while ago, sin separates one from God. And so he wants to redeem us. He wants to buy us back. It's like we've gone away and he's got something that will buy us back. And what is that? That's the blood of Christ. We're washed by his blood, Revelation 1 and verse 5. So the blood of Christ redeems us, or we might say Christ himself redeems us by buying us back, bringing us back to God. In Micah 4 and verse 10, even in the Old Testament, the scripture says, the Lord will redeem you from the hand of your enemies. In other words, he'll bring you back. He'll buy you back from your enemies. He'll bring you back. That's what the word redeem means. So God wants to redeem us. Look at Galatians, the 4th chapter, verses 4 and 5. And I have all these on the screen. Paul is talking about when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son. He was born of a woman. He was born under the law. But why was he sent? Why did he send forth his son? To redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. What did God do? He redeemed us, even though those that were under the law. And the reason he did that is he wants to adopt us. He wants us to be his son. So why does God redeem us? Because he wants to adopt us. That's why. As his sons. And what was it the Galatian writer said a little bit later on? He said, we are heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ. You see, we're made sons of God. And John said, we are called sons of God. In Titus 2 and verse 14, when Paul was writing to Timothy, he said, he gave himself for us, talking about Jesus Christ. He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous of good work. So he redeems us from every lawless deed. That's a wonderful thing to think about, folks. When one is baptized into Christ, every sin that he's had is washed away. He's redeemed. He's brought back to God. That's what he's done. He's brought back to God. Brings him back. Brings that person back to God. That's what he does. So God wants to what? He wants to reconcile us. He wants to redeem us. But he also wants to restore us. He wants to restore us to a former position. It's a lot like redeeming and it's a lot like restoring, of course, and reconciling. But he wants to redeem us. He wants to restore us to the former position that we had. When a person is born, folks, they're not born in sin, despite what some denominational people say. They're born free from sin. I know that's the case because Jesus wouldn't have told people when he called a little child to him, except you become as a little child, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He certainly wasn't saying, unless you become sinners, you can't enter the kingdom of God. So a child is born without any sin, but over a period of time, choices are made. Then sin comes into life, and it's necessary for us to do something about the sin. So God wants to bring us to that former position when we were just children and innocent, not guilty of sin. In Psalm 51 and verse 12, the psalmist said, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. What's David saying there? Well, he committed the gravest sin. He had murdered a husband, a certain wife. We know that. And he's begging God to forgive him now. And in begging God to forgive him, he says, restore me to the joy of your salvation. In other words, I was joyous. It was a wonderful thing. I had great joy when I served you before. I want to do that again. But he couldn't do that because God wouldn't accept him as long as he lived in sin. So he said, I want that joy again. So restore me the joy of your salvation. I want to be saved again. I want to be free from that again. So what does God want for us? He wants to restore us. He wants to restore us to the joy of salvation. When a person obeys the gospel, no wonder there's great rejoicing. When we read about the person who obeyed the gospel in Acts 8, when we read about the fact that he obeyed the gospel, we're told that he went on his way rejoicing. That's the Ethiopian eunuch. When the evangelist Philip entered into his chariot, he preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And the eunuch said, nothing does. And he confessed Jesus Christ, and he came up out of the water. He didn't see Philip again, but he went on his way rejoicing. Why? Why did he go on his way rejoicing? Because the joy of salvation was restored to him. That's why. He went on his way. In Psalms 80 and verse 7, the psalmist said, "Restore us, O God of hosts." This is the second time he says that. Psalms 51, Psalms 80. "Cause your face to shine and we shall be saved." The problem with David is here, he's been outside the bounds of God. He realizes he's lost now. He wants to be saved again. He wants the Lord's face to shine upon him. The idea here is, smile at me. Smile at me. Shine upon me. He realizes that shine, that smile, the face of the Lord has been turned from him because our sins and our iniquities caused the face of the Lord to turn from us. That's what Isaiah said. "Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, so he will not hear." Well, David understood that. That's why David says what he does in that passage in Psalms 80 and verse 7. But that's not the end of what he had to say. Look at the next one. Look at what further he has to say as he thinks about being reconciled to God. Look at Psalm 85 and verse 4. "Restore us, O God of our salvation, and cause your anger to us to cease." He didn't want God being angry with him anymore. That's what God wants. God wants to restore us. Everything he's done, folks, is to bring us into salvation, to restore us so that his anger won't be there, so that he can turn his face to us, so he can listen to us, so he can shine and smile because we are his children. But how does that happen? How is it that that happens, that he's going to shine his face on us? Well, that happens because God wants to regenerate us. That's what he wants. And he set in motion a plan whereby that can take place. To regenerate means to rebirth. In John 3 and verse 5, Jesus spoke of it in this way. He said, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And of course, the one he was speaking to, Nicodemus, didn't understand. He said, "Well, how can a man go into his mother's womb a second time? That's just impossible." Well, the Lord wasn't talking about the physical birth there. He's talking about a spiritual birth that takes place when one is born of water and of the Spirit. He's talking about what we talk about today. We talk about baptism, one going down into the water, coming up out of the water, going down into the water where sins are remitted, come up out of the water and to walk in newness of life, like in Romans 6, verses 4 and 5. He wants to rebirth us, regenerate us. He wants us to be born again. In Titus 3 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul said, "According to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit." Isn't he saying the same thing, Lord? The Lord said in John 3? He saved us what? Through the washing of regeneration, through the rebirth. It's as if we're born again. We go into the water as a sinner. Our sins are forgiven. Our sins are washed away. We come out to walk in newness of life. We're reborn. "And except one is born of the water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven." That's what Jesus said. That's not what James said. That's not what the Church of Christ says. That's what Jesus said. He wants to rebirth. That's what God wants. But he can't do that unless we're born again. That's why Jesus said on that particular occasion, "I say to you, unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom." Because some people won't do that. They just don't believe they have to. But Jesus said, "You cannot enter the kingdom of heaven unless you do that." Jesus is the one saying that in John 3 and verse 5. In Matthew 19 and verse 28, Jesus again is the one saying, let's just let Jesus tell us how we can be rebirthed or regenerated. "I surely say to you," "assuredly I say to you," said, "that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." I realize he's speaking to the apostles here, but he said, you've been regenerated. "In that regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne, you who have followed me will also have this." In other words, you're not going to sit on these thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel unless you've been born again. That's what Jesus is saying. Isn't that what he said in John 3? In verse 5? Yes, it is. So what does God want? He wants to rebirth us. He wants to regenerate us. That's what he wants to do. And when we are, something wonderful happens to us because God wants to resurrect us. It's appointed unto man wants to die. Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed unto man wants to die, but God wants to resurrect us from that death. That's the very thing the Apostle Paul was arguing in 1 Corinthians 15. In fact, he said, if there's no resurrection of the dead, we are of all men most pitiable because we have done that. We ought to be pitied, is what he's talking about. To resurrect us means to raise to life, folks. He's talking about those who are in the grave are resurrected to life. That's what God wants. He wants everybody to be resurrected to life. Not resurrected to death, but resurrected to life. And I'm talking about eternal life as opposed to physical death or spiritual death. In John 11, verse 25, Jesus again is the one speaking. He's speaking to a woman. He said to her, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Listen to this closely. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. That's what God wants. Though we die physically, we'll live spiritually or we'll live eternally. So what does God want? He wants to resurrect us. That's what he wants. He wants to raise us from the dead. Sometimes it's in a spiritual sense, from spiritual death to spiritual life. Sometimes it's talking about literally life again from physical death. For instance, in John 5, verses 28 and 29, Jesus again is speaking. We're letting Jesus answer these questions about what God wants. On this particular occasion, Jesus said, don't marvel at what I'm about to tell you. Don't be amazed. Don't be astonished. Don't marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice. And what's going to happen? They're going to come forth out of the grave. That's resurrection. That's being raised. That's resurrection is what that is. That's what he's talking about first. Corinthians 15, what Paul's talking about, as we mentioned a while ago. What's going to happen there? They'll come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life. That's why I said it's to raise to life. The resurrection of life. Jesus even called it that, the resurrection of life. And those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation or death. And the idea of condemnation here is, there are two places that one will go when they're raised from the dead, or can go when they're raised from the dead. One is the resurrection of condemnation. That's hell, folks. The devil's burning hell. The other one is heaven. No wonder Paul said, I live in such a way I reach for that mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I live in hope, he said, of eternal life. What he's talking about, my days are over with. He tells Timothy, it's time for me to depart. But there's going to be given to me something that everybody else can have if they love his appearing, and that is eternal life. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. Don't marvel. Don't be astonished at this. There is going to be a time when everybody in the grave will come forth. Some to everlasting life, some to everlasting condemnation. Now the question is, that's what God wants. God wants us to have everlasting life. He wants to resurrect us to life. That's what Jesus said, resurrection to life. But that depends on us. If we don't want that life, if we don't want to do the things that we need to do, it'll be a resurrection to condemnation. I want you to think about how horrible that would be. If one has spent his entire life doing certain things and thinks he's safe, because somebody in denomination world or some friend of his said, oh, you don't need to be baptized. That's just a Church of Christ thing. And then you find out when Jesus Christ comes again that your sins have never been washed away. When you could have done that. And now you've been resurrected, but not to life, but to condemnation. What a horrible thing that will be, because we put our faith in what some men say, what some friend says, what some relative says, rather than in what Jesus said. Those who put their faith in Jesus, those are the ones that will come forth to the resurrection life, because they've done good. That's what Jesus calls it, they've done good. In Acts 24 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul said, I have hope in God. What is your hope, Paul? Well, I have hope in God, but specifically what are you talking about? That there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. That's why I live the way I live. I have hope in God that there will be a resurrection from the dead. Well, Jesus said there would be. There'll be a resurrection unto life or a resurrection unto condemnation. And the Apostle Paul said, I have the hope of the resurrection of the dead. Why did he have that hope? Because he said, I hope in God. Because God said that. That's why. In Romans 6 and verse 5, in the passage we were talking about earlier, the Apostle Paul said, if we have become united with Him, talk about Christ, in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Well, I'll tell you something, folks. Jesus Christ was not raised. Jesus Christ was not raised to walk in condemnation. He wasn't raised to go to hell. Jesus Christ was raised to life. And the wonderful thing about that is, since He was raised to life and God raised Him through the Holy Spirit, He can raise us for the same thing as long as we do good, as long as we do the things that He wants us to do. The other passage talking about this, Romans 6 and verse 4. We were buried therefore with Him through baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might rise to walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of the death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. So what does God want? Of all the things we've talked about, what does God want? He wants to resurrect us. That's what He wants. So we need to remember something, don't we? As we've talked about all that. We need to remember what was said in Acts 3 and verse 19. When the Apostle Peter, the second time, is speaking to a group of people at Jerusalem, he said some of these things the first time in Acts 2. But now he's speaking in Acts 3, and he's speaking to some of them. He says, repent and return. There's that idea of restoring, reconciling. Repent and return so that your sins may be wiped out or wiped away or washed away, depending on the translation you use. In order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. How refreshing that will be. Now, there's some amount of that refreshing here upon life once we've obeyed the gospel, isn't there? But you think about how refreshing that will be when you're standing there. And the Lord starts to separate, like He did in Matthew 25, as He talks about Matthew 25, the sheep from the goats or the righteous from the unrighteous. And He puts you over here with the righteous. And you begin to smile. Maybe you were a little bit on needles and pins before, because even though you have living hope for eternal life, you don't know exactly what's going to happen now. And He's separating everybody. You sure hope you don't go over here. And all of a sudden you're over here. And what? There are times of refreshing that come from the presence of the Lord. Now, I realize we talk about sometimes as having to do with baptism. When he's baptized and he rises to walk in newness of life and he goes on his way rejoicing. And I'm not suggesting that that's not a proper interpretation. But I want to tell you something. He's talking about something coming from the presence of the Lord. When Jesus reaches His hand out to you and says, come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's what God wants. Now, let's turn that around a little bit. What do you want? I know what God wants. Now, what do I want? Do I want that? Do I want to have that season of refreshing are times of refreshing that come from the presence of the Lord? Do I want that? Turn your book to number 276. Well, it can come because the blood of Jesus Christ has the power to make it come because it can wash away our sin. And that's what this song is talking about. The question is, would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Would you over evil a victory win? There's power in the blood. There's power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb, in the precious blood of the Lamb. But that's up to you to avail yourself of it. Can I help you do that?